Hi, Jimmy Hamilton here. Welcome to the catechism class for today. We have turned now, we've been looking over these last few days at the, not just the person of the mediator, but the work of the mediator, how he performed his work of mediation appointed to him. But now the Catechism, the Westminster Larger Catechism, that is, the one that we're studying, now it turns to the benefits of the mediator. What benefits do we receive as a result of trusting in, believing in God's mediator? And who are those who receive those benefits? So listen, much more will be discussed over this subject session. And of course, as always, questions and comments are welcome, as long as they're sensible and respectful. If I don't have the answers, I will seek to find them for you. So do please feel free to ask away. So coming to our question for today, question 57, and the answer, what benefits hath Christ procured by his mediation? And the answer given by the Catechist is, Christ by his mediation hath procured redemption with all other benefits of the covenant of grace. And the scripture that I would bring to bear upon this is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and at verse 12, where it says, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. And here's the line, the appropriate line, thus securing an eternal redemption. That's the scripture that I seek to bring to bear upon this question and answer. Of course, were you to study the Catechism for yourself, you'll see that the Catechist, he gives many scriptural references for the teaching that he gives throughout the Catechism, not just one verse. I just give you one verse because of, for time's sake. So the question, what benefits hath Christ procured by his mediation? Christ by his mediation hath procured redemption, eternal redemption, as Hebrews says, with all other benefits of the covenant of grace. God's covenant of grace, a covenant of friendship. It's of grace because, well, it's by grace that we're saved, you see. By the sovereign, free grace of God, his grace in election, his grace in his sovereign grace in applying this redemption to those whom he has elected in grace, chosen before the foundation of the world, predestinated even to be his children. So the covenant of grace, that grace that that saves, and of course brings with it the gifts necessary in order for us to benefit from the mediator's work. Jesus Christ, that is, the Son of God, the only mediator between God and men. So first of all, the meaning of the words that are used here, well, the words mediation and redemption. It's important that we understand what's been spoken about. When we speak about mediation, well, we're talking about go-between, you know, somebody to stand between two factions that are at war. Man is hostile in his mind against God, at enmity against God, at war with God. That's what sin has done. Adam, the first man and the head of the human race, he brought sin into the world and death by sin. And of course, that contract, you might say, that Adam entered into with sin, that contract is binding upon himself and the entirety of his posterity. every man, woman and child born into this world. So we're all bound by this contract, yeah, with sin, can't get out of it. It's binding, legally binding. Unless somebody comes, that is somebody who can disannul, somebody who can take that contract, rip it up, shred it, and throw it in the bin, and set us free from it. So we're all in this state and condition by natural generation, handed down to us. It's Adam's legacy, Adam's legacy for his posterity. I hope you're leaving for your children something better than Adam did. Maybe perhaps the gospel, maybe teaching them the larger Westminster Catechism, maybe grounding them in the truth of the Saviour and his eternal redemption. That would be a much better legacy than Adam left for the whole of his posterity. At war with God, enmity, hostile in our minds against God, raging against God, hating God and hating one another. That's the natural state and condition of men and women, all men and women born into this world. But for the grace, the covenant of grace, the grace of God, intervening and delivering us from that binding contract with sin, taking it and shredding it, ripping it up, and setting us free from it. By his mediator, the go-between. Man is at war with God, hostile to God, and God likewise, well, isn't exactly friendly with us, you know, because of our state and condition, naturally speaking. His wrath has been revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We incur God's wrath as displeasure. And that can only be removed from us if somebody steps in between, somebody with the ability to bring the two factions together and bring the war to an end. Well, man couldn't do it. Man has sinned, and so how could man possibly make terms of peace with God? Not possible. Only God himself, you see, could find a way. And in his love, in the immensity of his love, he has planned, if you like, to save a number of people, not arbitrarily, but a certain number of people out of the entire human race that he would reconcile to himself. And so he appointed the only one who could do this. Only God could do it. See? But of course, man has to be involved too. It has to be a God-man. So he appointed and anointed, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world in order to be our mediator, to be our go-between. That is to make terms of peace, reconciling the two parties, to make an end of sin. He was humiliated. He stepped down into this world in lowly circumstances, lived in subjection to God, went to the cross, and through his atoning death, he atoned for sin, for the sins of his people. He died on that cross. He shed his blood in order that we might be washed and made clean and made acceptable to God, reconciled to God, brought into a covenant of grace, friendship with God. And Jesus, of course, he not just simply that he died, but he bore the wrath of God that was due to the sins of the world. He took upon himself that awful, infernal, dreadful wrath of God upon himself on that cross. Never ever did a man suffer, and never ever will a man suffer in the way and as much as the Son of God, our mediator, suffered. So, a go-between, and then the word redemption, well, the word redemption means the recovery of a possession the recovery of something by payment by a ransom price. Say, for instance, your daughter was kidnapped, and the kidnapper said, well, you can have your daughter back if you pay us £1 million or $1 million, wherever you happen to live. And so you pay the ransom, you pay the $1 million, and you get your, if they're honest, if they're, you know, if they're good kidnappers, you know, they'll give you your daughter back. You pay the ransom. So redeeming something, buying something back, paying the price for our sins, the mediator, that is, paying the price for our sins in order that we might be restored to the righteousness of God, restored to the image of God, which was lost with Adam's sin, completely, totally lost, obliterated, gone, no more, but reinstalled when we are regenerated, when we are reborn, born again, as Jesus puts it, when God puts new life into us, his love into our hearts, when he raises us from the dead and gives us eternal life. He gives us an everlasting and a perfect righteousness. He gives us more even than was lost. He gives us more than Adam had. Because what Adam had, a perfect righteousness, but it was losable. It could be lost, and he did lose it. But our righteousness, when we trust in the mediator, when you trust in the mediator, a righteousness is given that cannot be lost, an everlasting righteousness, and restored to the image of God. The image of God is reinstalled, if you like, in a man or woman, with God's redemption, because the ransom price, the redemption price, has been paid. Back in the days, I think you still have the shops, but back in the days of my younger days, back in Glasgow, we used to have what they called them pawn shops. You know, you could pawn something. You know, if you were skint, if you were short of, you know, some money, you could go, and you always knew what a pawn shop was, because hanging outside and over the shop, the entrance to the shop, was three great big brass balls, globes, you know, hanging over the shop doorway. So you knew, as soon as you saw those three great big brass globes, you knew, oh, that's the pawn shop, yeah. And the pawn shop, you could go into the pawn shop if you were short, you know, and maybe you had a bracelet or, you know, something of worth, you know, and you could go in and say to the guy, well, you know, what will you give me for this and such like, and he give you some money and he give you a ticket with it too, you see. But the thing is, if the item was very precious to you, within a certain period of time, you could redeem it. Redemption, you see, you could redeem it. You could go back to the pawn shop and you could pay the ransom, pay the redemption price, and get your precious item back. Of course, if it's over the time, then, well, you've had it, you've lost it. And of course, if you don't, if the work of the mediator is not applied to you in time, you've lost out eternally, everlastingly. You never get back the righteousness of God or the image of God. You die in a lost state and go to a lost eternity. So there's a time factor involved, you see, in God's redemption too. Now is the time, the acceptable time. Get right with God now. Go to Jesus. Receive him today. Today. So the meaning of the words, important, I say, redemption in the New Testament terms, of course, of the Bible, is Christ reclaiming sinners from sin. This is what he came for. This is what the mediator was appointed for. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now we're talking about the Jesus, we're talking about the mediator of the Bible. You want to see, you want to behold the glory of Christ. Well, you behold the glory of Christ in the New Testament, well, in the entirety of the Bible, but more so, more fully and more clearly in the New Testament. In his incarnation, in his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and return to heaven, yeah, you see there the glory of Christ. Yeah, the Christ Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus, there are many Jesuses, yeah, figments of men's imaginations, yeah. There's the Jesuses of the cults and sects, you know, of Islam, of Roman Catholicism, of the Watchtower Society. You know, not those. You've got to get it from God's word, you know. You've got to get the picture, you've got to get the mediator right. He didn't come to make you wealthy, he didn't come to make you healthy. Yeah? These things might be given to you, but maybe not. That's not what he came for. He came to save his people from their sins. He came by his atoning death and his resurrection. He came to reclaim sinners, to redeem them from a certain and a sure and a known danger, that of sin. Our conception in sin, our very natures need to be transformed. We need to be rescued from our very natures. Sin is the very fabric of your being. It's in your DNA. It's the warp and woof of your fabric of your being. If you've not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So he came to reclaim sinners from their sin and from death, from eternal death. A state of death that you're already in, and a state of death that will continue for all eternity, if you're not made alive now in time. Get it, will you please? You come into the world in a state of death, not life, a state of existence, and your existence for however long, according to God's providence, yeah? Maybe 70 years, maybe less, maybe not even 10, maybe 90, maybe 100. But you exist for a certain period of time in that state of death, and then your end comes in this world, you go out of it, and that state of death continues for all eternity. You never see life, you never know life, unless you believe in Jesus, unless you trust in the mediator. Life will never be yours, you'll never know it. First thing Jesus has to do for us, he has to save us from death. He has to resurrect us from being dead in our trespasses and sin. Sin is a state of death. He came to redeem us, to reclaim us, sinners, from sin and death, and gain salvation for them, eternal life for them, forgiveness for them. Everything that's included, as we shall see in a moment, in what we mean by the word salvation or redemption, if you like. He came to secure eternal redemption. By how? Not by paying $1 million or £1 million, but by the payment. He paid the price, the ransom price. He paid the redemption price. His own precious blood shed on that cross. Not silver and gold, not precious stones, but his own precious blood to redeem, to reclaim, to procure, to secure eternal redemption for sinners. Redemption in the New Testament, of course, is also resurrection of the body. Because you see, the time is coming that when our bodies will be resurrected. We've touched on this already, but it needs to be said again, because this is part of the whole plan of redemption. Yeah, the resurrection of our bodies. We're all going to die one day, whether it's by COVID-19 or something else, it matters not. We're going to die. It's appointed. Man wants to die. After that comes the judgment. But everybody, both the godly and the ungodly, will be resurrected to the judgment of God. the godly, of course, it will be a judgment of commendation for them, a time of great joy and happiness for them. For the ungodly, it will be a dreadful and an awful day. But you see, even the saints in heaven, the saints who have died before us, they're in heaven, but they're, you know, they're enjoying heaven. No, there's no question about that. That's where we go when we die as believers. We go to heaven. But the job's not complete because their bodies, they've not been reunited with their bodies yet. Yeah? But that day will come. They will be resurrected. Their bodies, I mean. And they will be reunited to their bodies. And so too with the ungodly, when they die, breathe their last, are judged and go to hell. They are suffering the torments of hell now. But that's not finished either, because the day is coming when their bodies will be resurrected and they will be reunited to their bodies. And then they will be judged. Then will be the final judgment of the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous. So redemption, you see, includes that. Got to get it right, you know. The final installment in the benefit of his mediation when the whole thing's done. We're all reunited to our bodies, raised. Don't matter where your body was put, you know, whether it was left in the street, dumped in the sea, cremated, buried, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Might have been atomized, you know, by some infernal heat, but no matter. You will be reunited to your body, either to eternal redemption or eternal damnation. So there was a need for a ransom, you see. So this is why God appointed a mediator, anointed him, authorized him, sent of his Father to be a mediator, a go-between, to reconcile two parties who are at war with one another. And, well, the question, you know, you may say, well, isn't God love? Yes, of course he is. He is love, but he's not just love. That's only one of his attributes. I know it's the one that's homed in on mostly by people. You know that God is love, and what they mean by that is, generally speaking, at least anyway, most people, what they mean by that is that, well, God should do them all a favor, you know. They've got human rights, in other words, you know, and God has no right to exclude them or not to choose them or, you know, and such like. And God is love, he's easygoing in sin, you know, he winks at it, he's not too much troubled about it. And well, Jesus died for Jesus, God so loved the world, and so, you know, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that you, without Christ, you, without the mediator, you're at enmity against God. You hate God. You may not be conscious of it, but that's your natural state and condition, hating God and hating one another, the Bible says. So it is a big deal, because God is, yes, God is love, and his love is seen in this, in his electing love, in his desiring and in his planning, decreeing to save a number of people out of the human race. He had no need to choose any of them, any of us. And of course, well, why the question is asked, you know, I sometimes get up in the street, why doesn't he just forgive everyone? You know, end of story. Well, because God is not just love, God is holy, and God is righteous. Everything he does is righteous, everything he does is holiness. That's his character, and that's his will, perfectly righteous and holy. The prophet Isaiah, check it out, chapter 6, describes God in this way. Seeing him enthroned, he cries, holy. The angels rather cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's holy. He'll have no drop with sin. He's of purer eyes than to behold evil. Cannot look upon us, touch us. Lest we too are holy, made holy, and we're not holy. That's the problem. Like oil and water, we don't mix. You cannot mix with God in your natural state and condition. That has to be changed. And that's why we need a mediator, and one had to be sent. God cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his own holiness. He cannot deny his own righteousness. He cannot deny his own word. So his holiness is offended. His law is offended. We have broken, we have trampled his law, his commandments underfoot, every single one of us. We're sinners by nature, conceived in it, and we live in it, living with our fists in our Maker's face every day, raging and railing against the Almighty. In our practice, in all of our practice, everything that you do, you don't do anything good. You say, I'm a good person. You're not. There's no such a thing as a good person, says God. You say, but I do good things. No, you don't. There's none who does good, says God. None. So away with that nonsense. You know, God's justice must be satisfied. And there is no way but no way that you or I or any other man, however smart he or she may be, who could ever devise a way of getting us back into a covenant of friendship with God. God himself had to do it. And he did it by this means, by appointing and anointing a mediator and sending him, his only begotten Son, into the world, that through him that we might be reclaimed from sin and death and reconciled to God. Redemption secured, in order that God's justice be satisfied. When Jesus died on that cross, his blood shed on that cross, it was like sweet incense rising up to God, and in the nostrils of God so well pleasing, the blood of my only begotten Son. It was beautiful. It was acceptable. The price for sin had been paid, and it was acceptable to God. You say, how do you know that? Because of his resurrection from the dead. Because if he had remained in that tomb, if he had never risen from that tomb, you and I would have forgotten everything Jesus ever said or did. And so would the world. Justice was satisfied. I'm pleased, I'm satisfied. I'm no longer offended, says God. Sacrifice has been made. It's acceptable, it's well-pleasing to me. I am satisfied. I am no longer angry. I'm no longer wrathful towards those who receive the benefit of Jesus' mediation. You have to receive the benefit. You have to receive it. You have to go to Jesus and you have to receive the benefit of the redemption that he made. You have to trust in him, trust in what he has done. And the wrath of God will be removed from off of you. And God will be well pleased with you. He will smile upon you instead of frowning upon you. You will be a child of his instead of a child of the devil and wrath. See? So the penalty, you see, must be borne by a substitute. And that's what Jesus was on that cross. He was there dying. He was taking the death that was due to me and every sinner who will ever trust in him. He was taking what I deserve and giving me what he deserved. Yeah. substitute, you know, taking the place of the sinner, so that the justice of God could be satisfied, the penalty paid. In the nature that sinned, the man Christ Jesus, yeah, the nature that sinned had to pay the penalty, so man on the cross paid the penalty, died the death, laid in the tomb, 3 days in the tomb, to show, to prove, to demonstrate that he had actually died. The price, the wages of sin, death, have been paid. But he was not just a man on that cross. He was yet God. He was the God-man, because only God himself could have borne that eternal wrath that was poured out upon the Son of God. The God-man, Jesus Christ. Can you see the glory? Can you behold the glory of Christ? Do you have faith? Do you believe? Can you see? It's only by faith that you will see his glory. The God-man who came to redeem sinners from sin and death and hell, and satisfy the justice of God and procure eternal salvation for us. Justification. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Because Jesus has taken away my sin. All my sin. Justified. Made right with God. Yeah. In a moment. The moment that the sinner believes. That moment from Jesus a pardon receives. The moment that a sinner truly believes in Jesus, God the Father dons the judge's cap, and down comes the gavel, and he says, not just not guilty, that's not enough. He declares that sinner righteous, perfectly righteous in Jesus. No condemnation. Yeah? Justified by faith, and by faith only, not because of any works, not because of anything we've done, not because of anything in us, because there is no good in us. Simply and only because of the person of the mediator and the mediator's work, by trusting in him, believing in him, we receive the benefits of his mediation. Okay? We receive, he procured for us adoption, adopted into the family of God. Oh, aren't we all children of God by dint of creation, people say? Oh. No. That's created by God, made by God, certainly. No question about that. But we're not members of God's family. Not until we are adopted. Legally adopted. There has to be legal adoption, you see. There has to be a means by which we can be transferred from one family, the family of the devil, out of his family, out of his clutches, and into the family of God. To as many as received him, to them that believed on his name, he gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. By adoption. He adopts us into his family, you see. And he sanctifies us. He makes us holy. Because without holiness, no man shall ever see the Lord. We have to be made holy. Separated, that is. Separated from sin. Separated from a life of sin. Separated from the world, the flesh, the devil. Everything that's contrary to God, separated from it. And separated unto God. Set apart for him. Yeah. Holy. No longer do we live according to the course of this world. No longer do we walk that way. Once we've been justified, I mean. Once we've been adopted. Once we've been sanctified. We live differently. We live according to God's word. We live according to God's law. We live in a way that is pleasing to our Father, who has, by giving us a mediator, secured eternal redemption for us, and giving us the assurance of his love, pouring his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, giving us the assurance of eternal life. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, says Jesus. peace I give to them, not as the world gives, give I to them peace of conscience, peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding, and a joy unspeakable, inexpressible joy beyond anything that you could ever imagine, but without the sin factor. Finally, procuring us the grace of perseverance, because he whom Jesus saves goes on. He gives them eternal life, not temporary life, eternal life. He begins the good work, not you or I, he begins it by his grace. And we're promised, check it out if you will, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, he that begins the good work in us, he performs it, he completes it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is when Jesus returns again in glory. And to go back to the beginning again, to securing for us the resurrection of our bodies. Saved, you see, body and soul. Some people, they think, you know, some Christians, they talk about their souls, like their body doesn't matter, and they treat their bodies in the same way. Well, that's naughty. You shouldn't be doing that, because he saved us, he redeemed us, body and soul. Oh, your body matters. You're going to be reunited to it. I hope it'll be a better condition than some of our bodies be at the present when that happens. No, seriously, it will be a glorified body then. But our bodies will be resurrected and reunited to our souls, and we shall be glorified beings. What will that be like? I just cannot possibly conceive what it will be like. But that's God's redemption. That's the benefits, you know, of the mediator, his person, and all that he did, all that accomplished. But these benefits, you see, they're received by faith, and by faith only. And you see, you might get benefits, well, I don't know about your country, but here in the United Kingdom, oh, there are many benefits you can get. If you're a citizen of the United Kingdom, it's untold the benefits that people can receive from the state, the government here. That's why we have people from all over the world flocking here, because of the benefits they receive, you know. For nothing, you don't have to do anything for them. Given gratis, you know. Well, you might get plenty of benefits from the UK government, but you get no benefits from God. You get no benefits from God, not until you're reconciled by his mediator, the one whom he sent to do the mediating, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why he stepped down into this world, why he became a man, and why as the God-man he went to that cross, lived and died and rose again from the dead, to secure eternal redemption by the shedding of his precious, precious blood. What a glorious mediator. What a glorious redeemer. What a glorious Savior, Jesus, I commend him to you. And God's grace, mercy, pity, love that he has demonstrated in this, nowhere else. Look where you will for the love of God. You will not find it anywhere else, only in this. In God's electing love, in God giving us such a mediator. And such a mediator, a glorious mediator, as Jesus, coming and doing all that he did in order to secure eternal redemption for a sinner such as you and I. That believing, trusting in him, there's no one else to trust, can't you see it? Look the world over, look at the international turmoil, huh? Look at the mess that governments are in and get us into. Men and women, they look to everybody and anybody and his dog to trust in something or somebody to trust in, and it's nothing, it's empty. There's only one. There's only one. At the end of the day, there's only one that you can trust. And it's not me, that's for sure. Only one, Jesus, the mediator, the only mediator between God and men. Go to Jesus today. Give up the fight. Stop fighting against God. You can't win. Give over, man. Give over, woman. Get to the cross and behold and see the glory. See the glory of the Redeemer. God's Redeemer. Behold his glory through the eye of faith. That one day in eternity you might behold his glory. You might behold his glory visibly, physically. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He won't turn you away. He won't turn you away. Go to him. Lean on him. Rest in him. Recline upon him. Trust in him. He's a worthy and a trustworthy Savior. And he'll start the work, he'll finish it. Just trust him. That's all that's required of you. Trust him. That's what the Bible means when it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall. You will be saved. Trust. Don't be afraid. Trust. Believe. And you will be saved. God bless you. See you Monday, maybe.